You guys did great. And David, it's lekker having you with us. But we vertrou dat jy dit saam met ons geniet. Het julle allemaal mekaar gegroet, vriendelijk, met liefde? Mensen rondom jou, high five hulle weer, Bikkie. Say hi. Remember, a stranger is just a friend that you've not yet met. A stranger is just a friend that you've not yet met. Cool bananas. Okay. Taki, guess what we're going to speak about this morning? There you go. What did we speak about last week? What parts of the armor? Yes, and what else? The truth about? The truth about ourselves. And I messed up that joke badly. But you were still polite anyway. Even though I didn't get the punch right there. While the trainee priest is there, the people come and they say, I've sinned 3 times. And then he says, say 3 Hail Marys, give $15. And then the guy comes in and he says, I've sinned twice. He says, okay, pay 10 rand, 2 Hail Marys and go sin once more. That was what I was supposed to say, but I messed it up. But anyway, you got the gist of it. We continue with the armor. We're going to lay the foundation again with our scripture verse, and it's from Ephesians chapter? Yes, chapter 4. Chapter 6, verse 10 to 18. We do this every time to just get the Word of God established in this place before we start unpacking and breaking down. So read with me. It should come up there. If not, you can follow on your Pages Bible or your Bible on your tablet or your phone or whatever you use to access the Word of God. What's important is that we look at it together, that we read it and enjoy it. I trust that the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you this morning, and this is going to be something practical that you can apply to your life and not just another sermon. Like Nicolene, when she was making the announcement, she said, ja, dis afgesaakte ding. Dis nie afgesaakte nie. Dit is die belangrikste saak van al die dinge. So, from verse 10, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. And then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. Some translations say the breastplate of righteousness that protects everything in front. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Father, we thank you that we have the privilege of reading your Word. And Holy Spirit, we need you. We need you, Lord, to move beyond the limitations of my speech. None of us have come to listen to a man today. We've come to celebrate Jesus, to corporately worship you together, and to allow you, Holy Spirit, to speak into our lives and to change us so that it bears the fruit of the Spirit in our lives to the praise and glory of your name. And all God's people said, Amen. This morning, we're going to look at the shoes. Verse 15, for shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. Prepared for what? What do we need to be prepared for? Several things. You'll notice that the armor is not just about protection. The armor is about equipping us to go and do something, equipping us to actually serve and make a positive contribution. So it's not just a case where it's like modern sports that we enjoy today. You see 90,000, 100,000, or 30,000, depending on how popular the sport is, spectators, and then 30 players down on the field, or 22. With a ref, depending on what sport it is. And how many of you know that all the people on the stands are much, much, much better experts than the actual players on the field? Well, then if that's the case, I wonder why the people in the stands weren't selected for that team. But it's not about, church is not about a bunch of spectators watching a participator on the stage do something and then in a week, no. It's about us participating. So the armor is not just for protection. It's to equip us to actually go out and do something and make a difference. So shoes speaks about putting on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. So be prepared to share your faith. What are ways in which we can share our faith? We don't have to be, in fact, we're not called to be teachy and preachy and walk around with a Bible under our arms. We're not called to do that. We're called to live our lives in such a way that people look at us and want what we've got. And there comes a time when we need to be teachy and we need to be preachy. And when are those times? Those times when we need to be teachy and preachy is when people need to be taught and when the word needs to be preached. Those are those times. But the rest, it's just doing life and in living out your relationships with the Lord Jesus in such a way that people see. So the shoes means I'm prepared with the peace of the gospel. How can I have peace in the midst of the turmoil? Knowing that no matter what happens, God is still in control. In spite of what we think, God actually knows best. Not many of you are agreeing with me because there were no amens in the house this morning. In spite of what we think, God actually knows best. How many times have you heard people say, this God-forsaken country? You know, there's no such thing as a God-forsaken country. There's countries in which there are people that have forsaken God, but there's no God-forsaken country. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. And it starts by using the word instead. If you read the other verses, you'll see, but instead of being negative like this and complaining like this and having your mindset like this, instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. In context, what does that mean? You get to work on a Monday morning, a very, very high-pressure environment. It's difficult. The company is going through challenges. There's problems in the workplace. And you get there, and you've got a skip in your step. You're all happy, and you're just full of joy, and you're smiling. And people are like, what's wrong with you? I mean, what's there to be happy about? What are you smiling about? What do you say? Just because, you know. No, well, you know what? God's in control. That's all you have to say. You don't have to say, the Bible says in chapter whatever, verse so and so. Well, if the person asks you, you can search it for them, find it for them. But they ask you, what are you so happy about? What do you have to look forward to? God's in control. My future is in God's hands. Something as simple as that. That's being ready to share your faith and tell people. So it says, if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. You know, folks, as far as I know, it is the biggest Christian church on the planet today. It's the Yodi Full Gospel Church in Korea. All right, they have prayer mountains. Mountains where at night you see all the little lanterns that have been lit all across the mountain where people are little prayer cubicles or whatever, praying and praying and praying and praying and praying. They experience miracles in that church. They just really, really are praying people. I think it's in Southern Korea, not Northern Korea. Northern Korea or it's Southern Korea. And what's the point I'm going to make about Southern Korea now? Oh, come on, man. Oh, yeah, church. Why was I going to mention that? I've lost my train of thoughts. Forgive me, folks. The biggest church. What was it about? Oh, yes. Got it. Always be ready to explain it. So, you know how we have care groups, all right, so where people do life together in each other's homes during the week. There you get to ask questions, why did Mozzie say that, and what did he mean by this, and what does the Bible say about this? We can talk and ask questions like that, because in the context of our gathering on a Sunday, it's not really the place to be able to do that. And you just do life, because there you can just throw your toys out of the cot, you can hell snort and trana and just have people encourage you and you be encouragement to other people. So we have care group leaders that lead that, and so the people are taken care of in that way. And I always say the pastoring is not done from the pulpit on a Sunday morning. Fasting takes place in those care groups during the week where people are cared for like that. So at this Yoni Full Gospel Church, which I say is the biggest church in the world, you know how they appoint cell group leaders? So a person gets born again, and once the person is born again, they say, right, you now have enough knowledge and equipped to go and lead a care group, because a home cell. Why? Because the focus is on people that have not yet given their lives to the Lord. And all those people basically have, and obviously they get trained, et cetera, as they grow in the Lord and learn more about the Word. They don't just leave them there, but get them to be better and better equipped. Because they're reaching out to people that don't know the Lord. And for those that are born again and get filled with the Spirit of God, what do they have to share with others? Their story, their testimony. They can say, this is how my life was before I met Jesus. This is how it's been since I've come to know the Lord. And that person then goes out and becomes a home cell leader. Isn't that exciting? So, how many of you here this morning are ready to become care group leaders? Don't raise your hands now. But that's the requirement. And you don't have to, all you do for those care group leaders, what I tell you all the time, all you have to do is to facilitate conversation and ask the questions. You get the notes, you get the sermon outlines, you get the scriptures, the questions, all of it is given to you. You say, sir. And then you ask, that's it. And you start the flow of conversation. And guess what? Because the people are hungry and willing to learn from God, and because there's needs in the lives of people, guess what happens? The Holy Spirit starts to move amongst the people. Okay. Right. So, 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. Always be ready to explain when people ask. So, most of us, and if you've got a different technique, please let me know. Most of us either sit or kneel when we put our shoes on, correct? How many of you stand there and do a balancing act? Do it like this. Okay, one person. Okay, but for folks that don't stand and put their shoes on, maybe your shoes are on the floor and you like put it in your wig. Okay? But the point is, you do something to put your shoes on, right? It's exactly the same. You either sit or you kneel. Or you stand, put your shoes on, do a balancing act. I'll practice standing, balancing in the shower. I'll concentrate. Come on, just stand. And then it's slippery and there's water and it's like, ee! But it's exciting. So you do something to put your shoes on. What's the illustration here? So having your the shoes of readiness, shoes of being prepared with the good news of the gospel, put that on. So you sit or you kneel or you do something to put the shoes on. Sit or kneel to pray and ask God to help you get His way and method where, when, and how to speak to people. Because you can be absolutely right in what you say, but say it to somebody in such a way, hulle wil niks met jou te doen hê nie. Hulle wil nie hoor nie, just because of your attitude. And in the rabbis were regarded good rabbis, no matter how much that rabbi knew. If he didn't come with an attitude of having to serve. Now, the rabbis were respected persons in society in general. Okay? You know, you didn't just treat them like, hey, how's it, machaba, machay, machana, how are you? No, the rabbi was treated with respect. They wouldn't receive what the rabbi had to say unless he came with an attitude of being willing to serve the people. That is why Jesus was so effective in his ministry. He's the king who came to serve. And he served even the one who would betray him. He washed the feet of all the disciples. So the point is that when you get ready with the peace of the good news of the gospel of Jesus and you adopt an attitude of prayer, Lord, I want your words, your attitude, your houding, Lord, if I can put it that way, when I speak to people. Colossians 4 and verse 6. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. So guess what? You don't need to be anxious before the time. What am I going to say? What if they ask me a question that I don't know? It's simply, you know what? It's okay not to know everything. Not everybody knows everything. All right? Not everybody knows everything. So if they ask you a question about the Bible that you do not know, you say, I don't know, but I'll find out for you. And you also go and find out. Let's get back to her again and see what we have found, you know. So that's all it takes, folks. That's all it takes. But the point is to pray about it and say, Lord, speak to the Lord about the people before you speak to the people about the Lord. Does that make sense? All right. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23 to 25. Again, I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only starts fights. The devil would want you to do that. Get into an argument. No, it is like it. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. Up and down. You get nowhere. You know what? There are many, many doctrinal issues in the Bible that Bible scholars all over the world still differ about today and disagree on today. Still. Okay? So not everybody is in agreement on everything that is written in the Scripture. That's why we need to trust the Holy Spirit to lead us into truth and help us to live our lives in such a way that truth is what comes out of us and that it's based on the Scripture. So, and if you know, if you're researching things in the Bible, you can find Scripture verses for anything you want and justify it and say, well, the Bible says this. And the other person will say, yeah, well, the Bible also says this. Well, what do? Seek the truth together. And remember, truth is a person, not a thing. And his name is Jesus. It says, don't lead to arguments that only start fights. Verse 24 of Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2 Timothy chapter 2. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone and be able to teach. Must be able to teach others and be patient with difficult people. That's why I have patience with the church. To be patient with difficult people. Verse 25, gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Somebody comes and tells you something that's completely unscriptural. You know what's wrong? You say, you're such a jerk, man. You know, you're so doff. That's not what the Bible says. Do you think that's going to encourage the person? Do you think that's going to edify him? Do you think that's the kind of thing that Jesus would say? There were times when he was harsh with them. He said, you bunch of snakes. You're a brood of vipers. Okay, but there's a time and a place because that's what was the attitude of the people's hearts. So gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts and they will learn the truth. So what's the point of this? That to have your feet shod, shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace, pray about it. Let God give you his heart for lost people. Okay. Moving off from the shoes, are we good? All right, you have the preparation of the gospel of peace. Your shoes, your feet are ready to go out and do what it takes. Verse 16, in addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Hold up the shield of faith. Years ago, there was a family that was going through tremendous, tremendous attack, a pastoral family. And one of the siblings in the family came to me and just said, Mozzie, please just pray. We're going through tremendous attack. And I went and I fasted and I prayed specifically for the family. And this is what I sensed the Lord showed me about the Word of God. God asked me about the armor of God and the shield of faith. And the Lord asked, what does the shield of faith do? And I said, Lord, it stops the fiery darts and arrows of the devil. He said, no, it doesn't. They still keep coming, but it stops them from hitting you. So what do you need to do? A shield is going to be of no use to you if it's just hanging around you on the side and your head is exposed and your heart is exposed and your body is exposed and the shield is just somewhere on the side. You need to get behind the shield. How many of you have seen the movie 300? How many of you haven't seen the movie 300? Okay. Well, it's about 300 soldiers that stand against a huge, 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 huge army. Greek soldiers and how they stand together. It's like, I heard the term this week, have a Gideon revival where there's 30,000, then 10, and it just goes down and down until there's just 300 people. It's called the Gideon revival, where revival takes place and it's not multitudes of people, but less and less. But those people that are left are serious about the Lord. But in the movie 300, they held together, huddled together, and they all hide behind their shields. Thus is Sparta! It's a lekker skopskiet flick, die. And the arrows come, and the spears come, and the javelins come, and they're all behind the shields. And if one is like, hey, what's this message on my phone? And he falls down, and the gap just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Okay, there's no cell phones in that movie, but if there was, or like, just, hey, chick, a chick walking past there. Can't you in battle? You've got to protect yourself and your fellow soldiers to your left and to your right. Okay, so hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Hold up, everybody say, hold up. Dit beteken dat iets wat ons moet doen, julle. Soveel mense sê, ja, well, ek glo ook in die Here. Well, dis fantasties, sensationeel. Ek so bly vir jou, dat jy in die Here gloei. Glo. Jy in die Here gloei. Ja, jy moet ook gloei vir die Here, maar ja, jy verstaan wat ek sê, man. Okay, hold up the shield of faith. Our faith has to be applied in practical ways in our lives. You can't just say, well, I believe. I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. If you don't practically do something, I can't go to the top of this and say, I believe I can fly. Julle gaan my in die hospitaal kom besoek. Of julle gaan lekker by die huis staan en lag. What a jerk. You've got to practically do something about what you believe in. You say, well, I believe in God. Well, great. You know what the Bible says about that? James 2 and verse 26. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. Wow. So you have the shield of faith. But if that shield of faith is there, and I don't pick it up and apply it to my life. Say, you know what? The facts say this, and what I see is dictating this, but I'm choosing to believe what the Word of God says. Folks, it's like the make or break moment in our lives every day when we face these things. You have this choice. The facts are South Africa is in huge, huge trouble financially. Politically, we are on the brink of civil war. That's the fact. But the truth is, God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, I will answer them from heaven and will heal their land. The fact is that God is not done with this country or its people. The fact is that the God of the Bible is still the miracle working God of today. That's the truth. Sorry, not the facts. That's the truth. So the facts will say one thing and the truth will say another thing. We have a choice every day to choose. That's what it means to pick up that shield of faith and to practically apply it in our lives. Believing alone is not enough. Staying in the book of James chapter 2 and verse 19. You say you have faith, for you believe that there's one God. Good for you. The New Living Translation puts it like that. Good for you. Even the demons believe, and they tremble in terror. So what's it saying? That just like the demons, you believe, but the demons don't apply that faith to their lives. When we apply that faith to our lives, we can have a shield of faith that is effective, that stops the fiery darts of the devil penetrating and hitting us. So the darts are going to keep coming. The arrows are going to keep coming. So a practical way of applying the shield of faith to our lives. The practical way of applying faith in our lives is by hearing the Word of God. I want to encourage you, get audio Bibles where you can listen to the Bible narrated to you by somebody with an attractive voice that reads the Bible to you, and you can have that playing in the background all the time wherever you are. So you can get the Word of God in all the time. I often do that when I'm riding on my bicycles. Just have the Word of God read to me over, and I had it on shuffle repeat. So it goes from Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs, up and down all the time, getting the Word of God in my head so that faith can come and come by hearing the Word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17, it says, so faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. So these are practical ways that we can apply the shield of faith to our lives. It's to protect us from the fiery darts of the enemy and the fiery arrows of the devil. What are the fiery arrows? What are the fiery darts? Think about it in your life. What does an attack from the devil look like versus jy het self droog gemaak? Nou draai jy die gevolge daarvan. What does it look like? A difference between an outright attack of the devil or you just bearing the consequences of disobedience in your life? How do we discern the two? Well, if you're ready and willing to listen to the voice of God and just sense His peace, or a check in your spirit, something that you just don't have peace about something. One of the ways in which God speaks is through His peace. That will be your guide to say, okay, this is an attack from the devil. Up to here and no more, Satan. I'm drawing the line and I'm proclaiming the word of God over my life and in this situation. This is what I'm choosing to believe. I'm not seeing it yet. I'm not experiencing it yet, but I'm going to speak it and I'm going to believe it until by faith it comes to pass in my life, because God's timing is perfect. What are the devil's fiery arrows? These are lies that he tells you about your life and issues of faith. Those are the fiery darts of the devil. Lies that he tells you about life and issues of faith. These are the fiery darts of the devil. And arrows are also the devil's attack on our lives, where there's an outright attack on your life. You start growing in effectiveness for the Lord, and the devil assigns oppressing, harassing, demonic spirits to come and steal, to kill, and to destroy in your life. Where do we get this from? John 8 and verse 44. Jesus teaches us about these things. He says, you are the children of your father, the devil. That's nice and diplomatic, isn't it? Straight out, it tells you are of your father, the devil. You're his children. Why does he say that? Because you do the works of your father. Straight out. So I wonder what kind of works do we get up to? The works that we do, the things that we do and say, the places we go. Do you think the world looks at us and says, that is a man of God. That is a woman of God. Or do you live so closely to the things of the world that people can hardly discern? You're a deep, deep, deep undercover secret ops Christian that nobody knows about. You just surface on a Sunday and then you go undercover again in a week. You're like deep undercover. Or can people clearly see, die as a man van God. Die as a God-vreesende vrou. That's how we should live. And he says, you are the children of your father, the devil. We're in John 8:44. And you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So, those are the arrows and the fiery darts of the devil. His lies. In John 10:10, Jesus says, the thief's purpose, that's the devil, is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Have we got that? I'm not going to go into any further parts of the armor. We'll finish off this series probably next week. Just two more aspects to look at. So just to recap, we spoke about the shoes. The shoes means being ready, equipped. You're not going to go out and attack do a marathon or go on an off-road ride or just walk in the desert or on the rocks or go mountain climbing without specific shoes that are specifically designed for that purpose. Shoes specifically designed for running away from the police or something. I don't know. No. Thank God. But having... So I've got these shoes on. I'm now prepared with the good news. I have the peace of the gospel of good news. I'm going out. And then you take time to pray about it and say, Lord, give me your words to say the right thing at the right time with the right attitude, Lord, so that my speech is attractive to people. And when people ask me, what are you so hopeful about that you are always ready and willing to explain it to them. And folks, you know what I've found oftentimes in my life? That often happens when I'm tired. when I'm not really ready and willing to explain it. You know, when it seldom happens when I'm feeling all spiritual and I'm up and I'm energetic. It happens when you're tired. And I think one of the reasons is so that people can see that you're just real. You're real. They can see this man, he's going through difficulties himself, but there's still hope here. You know, and if he in his place of difficulty can have this hope, there's hope for me too. So don't think it's not going to always be when you come out of a prayer meeting or a fantastic sermon, you hear a sermon that just sets you on fire and you're like, oh, you feel you can tackle the world. And people are going to come to you then. It might happen when you're in your time of greatest need as well. So we spoke about putting on the shoes. And then we spoke about the shield. That the shield is something that needs to be applied practically in our lives. The shield of faith. There are practical ways in which we can get that faith. One of the ways is corporate gatherings like this, getting involved in a care group, having your faith supplemented by what you read, the music you listen to, the movies you can watch. For a while now, I had the trial run of YouTube subscription. In other words, it's ads free. Praise Jesus. It's like so lekker. I'm like, take my money already. It's so lekker being able to watch stuff on YouTube without adverts. It's like, have my monthly prescription. You put in there Christian movies. Some of them are a little bit lame, but some of them are really, really lekker. There's no limitation to watch only what Hollywood throws at you or Boss Flix or Netflix or Showmax or whatever. There's some good stuff on there. I must admit that I enjoy movies. It's not only Christian movies, you know. It's not like you're sinning if you watch a non-Christian movie. But the point is you can do things to practically build your faith and apply your faith in a practical way so it's not just I believe and it's just left there, but ways that you can practically apply the faith that God gives you to your life. Are we ready to do that in this week, church? Are we ready to practically apply the faith of God? So, we are accountable. I'm going to ask the deep end to come up again. And Dave, our guest bassist this morning, and they're going to do that Never song because it's a beautiful licky. We're accountable for what we know. So I know that the devil is going to shoot fiery darts and fiery arrows at you, my brother, my sister. Remember the sermon. Remember this message. Remember to pick up your faith. It's not going to stop those arrows from coming, but it's going to protect you. And practically apply it to your life. And when you get an opportunity, when somebody asks you, somebody's going to ask you this week, so, you know, why are you always cheerful? Why are you always happy? Or why are you, you know, you're not negative? Why are you not down? Why are you not throwing in the towel? Why are you not immigrating? Why are you not giving up? Whatever. So, God's got this. Something as simple as that. God's got my back. God's in control. Or, you know, and you can be more specific if the person is willing to let you speak into their lives. So I trust that the Lord blesses you and keeps you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you, lift up his countenance over you and give you his peace that surpasses all understanding. Have a fantastic week, and God willing, we'll carry on with this message next week as well. Let's stand as we worship the Lord together.